Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition. Friday evening, I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll hear from the Woodstock rock band, The Bobby Lees. They're coming back with a new album after stepping away from music, and Radio Catskill's Rebecca Hendricks spoke with the band about their return. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, which means we're joined by the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal, here to bring us the latest from Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the show. Let's start with Head Start here in Ellenville. It sounds like the program has run into some serious challenges tied to federal funding cuts. What can you tell us about exactly what's going on here?
I'm not entirely sure of the complexities here, but it does seem that it starts at the top with the presidential administration restricting money into education, whereby it drops and drips through innumerable kind of layers before it gets down to something like Head Start. So they don't have the money to pay teachers in a competitive way with school districts. Unless, you know, they have a teacher who's got other income, they're limited to sort of like about $22,000 for starting salary. Whereas a teacher can go to Ellenville schools and start, if they're accepted, start at, you know, about $45,000. So, you know, there's no contest. So they can't get staff. So because they can't get teachers and they don't have the money for that, they basically shut down the program in Ellenville, which left about 70 children without anywhere to go. There's a number of complexities here, so I'll just whip through them quickly. Four-year-olds left bereft that way may find their way into a pre-K program at Ellenville schools because that will take four-year-olds. Three-year-olds, no. That leaves parents with three-year-olds who were at Head Start with nothing, unless they can find some other daycare, which is, as everybody knows, as rare as hen's teeth. Daycare is a severely under-provided option around here. So anyway, so with this dramatic, I don't want to call it a failure, but this dramatic like loss, Ellenville parents were kind of like aghast, you know, what the hell were they going to do? And then to the village board meeting comes Dan Tucker, who many people may remember was, he's a scientist of financial auditing, which is quite something. It involves things involving accounting that are beyond my ken. Anyway, but he showed up. He had worked for the village back in the desperate days of 2017, 2018, but long since gone. Anyway, he came in because he has kids in the nursery school, Ellenville Nursery School, which is a separate institution that's been going since 1949, when it was founded by a group of parents who thought there should be something like that. And it takes kids, I mean, even, it'll take kids that even are just mastering potty training. So it's specifically a nursery school for young children, bringing them up to the point where they're 4 years old or whatever and ready to go into pre-K or even K. So he came in and he said, hey, why don't we have the nursery school take over the premises that Head Start were using, which is the Pine Grove School on Center Street, which is a classic building with a lot of history, which we won't go into here, but a lot of history of that building. Anyway, even though it's shut down now, go in then as quickly as possible to prevent any decay or issues because it's shut, and we'll just restart the program. Nursery school will take it over. We'll run two schools, and we'll keep the program for the 3 and 4 year olds at Pine Grove School. Sounds really like a good idea. You could almost hear an exhalation of relief from a lot of parents in the village. However, I noted, you know, and it's inevitable that the mayor, Evan Trent, who's a very good guy. I almost said bloke. Sorry. But anyway, very good guy who, you know, is everyone's best interest at heart. He was very cautious about it because the kicker there is Head Start had a nominal rent on the Pine Grove School of $1 a year. And that would be key to having the nursery school come in and take it over and rent it for $1 a year. And at that point, you've got the legal issue arises. Is that something that the village can do? Can it just allow property that it owns, because the village actually owns the Pine Grove School, can it allow it to be rented for just the nominal rent? And so that's got to be looked into. So while that's being looked into, of course, the building remains shut and anything can happen. And, you know, the parents and everybody are just kind of like, oh, please let it happen, because it would be the best possible sort of situation. You know, meanwhile, we know that Lisa Wiles, the superintendent of schools for Ellenville Central School District, she is working with her elementary school people to see what they can do in terms of expanding pre-K, getting another classroom perhaps, so they can take the four-year-olds. But that still leaves the parents of the three-year-olds out in the cold, and they've got to get something. Something has to come together for them. So we will see, but this is an interesting test of our lack of adequate daycare and the coming of age or the demise or whatever of Head Start as a program, simply because they can't afford to pay teachers anything competitive at all with what they could get at an elementary school. So eyes on that one. We're all watching to see what happens. Some of us with more anxiety than others, yeah. But you know, it's a key thing for the village. And the other thing about the Pine Grove School is it's within walking distance of where most of these parents live. So there's no requirement to have an automobile, right, which is, of course, a very difficult thing for some people to keep a car on the road because it costs a lot of money.
All right, Chris, keep us updated on that story as this continues to unfold. We'll like you to see more fallout, especially when education programs face funding cuts or restrictions. Let's move on to another story. Juneteenth is coming up next week. What does the Ellenville branch of the NAACP have planned?
Okay, two dates, June 19th and June 18th. June 19th will be Juneteenth. There is going to be a Juneteenth festival in Ellenville at the Mill Street Park, which is a little less known park on Center Street. It's a nice little neighborhood park, and they're going to have a Juneteenth celebration there. But they're going to have another thing. The NAACP is planning on having something which will be a John Lewis, memorial kind of event, you know, and pushing people to get registered and be ready to vote, because that's Christian. And this will be held on the corner of Center Street and Market Street, where we, like today, for instance, that open space in Ellenville will be used today for the farmers market. But on July the 18th, which is a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., there will be the John Lewis Voting Rights Rally on that corner. And they'll be rallying and basically trying to get people to come and start the process, if they're not registered to vote, to get registered to vote and to get excited about voting, which is, of course, the key thing we have, you know, it's our only weapon. So unless you've got tons of money.
Yes.
and so that will be NAACP action on the 18th. And then the next day will be the Juneteenth festival.
Thanks for that story, Chris, and for the update on NAACP's Juneteenth plans. Of course, we're talking this Friday. World Cup energy is in the air. The U.S. takes on Paraguay tonight at 9 o'clock. Are there any watch parties or soccer events happening in your area?
There is tonight for the first U.S. Men's National Team game against Paraguay. There is an event at 9 o'clock between the two buildings of Ellenville, of the Ellenville School District. There's a space at the back there between the buildings where they're going to set up a screen, and they'll basically be having a watch party. And this will be an interesting test to see how the U.S. men's team does against Paraguay. I don't know that much about Paraguay at this point, but we'll find out, won't we?
Do you know if that watch party is going to be like that throughout the whole World Cup, that they're going to keep doing those watch parties?
We'll find out tonight. Yeah. I don't know. This has been organized by the people behind Inter Juniors, which is a kind of a Latin leaning youth soccer thing here in the village town. It's going to start at 9 p.m., which is when the game starts.
Yeah.
But I would get there early if you're coming. And it'll be interesting to see. Paraguay probably play kind of a similar style to Uruguay and Argentina, that being their area. But we'll see. So anyway, all right, good. Yeah, that'll be 9 o'clock.
All right, Chris, that sounds good. That's a nice way to take in the match. And for folks listening, the World Cup watch party happening tonight at 9 o'clock at Ellenville High School. There's also a couple across the county. This is United States taking on Paraguay. A couple of quick facts. This is the U.S. men's team's World Cup opener, and that's happening on the home soil. It's happening in Los Angeles tonight. Paraguay is also making its return to the World Cup after a long wait. So there's going to be a lot of good energy tonight in this matchup. Again, Chris, thank you so much, as always, for joining us, keeping us updated on what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Coming up next, we'll hear about the Bobby Lees, a band from Woodstock, that's back with a new album. It's Friday in Local Edition, and I'm your host, Patricio Roballo.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
What if we just applied a little bit of the Yamanaka factors? You could see it in the mice. They looked younger. They had less gray in their fur. Their muscles were stronger. They healed more quickly from wounds. And they were kind of rejuvenated and overall friskier.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
This week in This American Life, who hasn't this happened to? A woman freezes her dead father, hoping that hundreds of years from now he'll be unfrozen and brought back to life. And she donates the capsule that has his body inside of it to a cryonics organization run by this guy.
That's probably the only thing that I am somewhat ashamed about, that I didn't tell her that I was going to put three more people in there.
This week.
Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. My host, Patricio Roballo. The Bobby Lees got their start in Woodstock in 2017. 6 years later, the band called it quits after struggling to make a living despite touring the world and earning some praise from rock legends. Now, 3 years later, after stepping away, the Bobby Lees are back with a new album, thanks in part to some help from Dune and Aquaman actor Jason Momoa. Radio Catskill's Rebecca Hendricks spoke with band members Mackie Bowman and Kendall Wind about the band's return, their new music, and what brought them back together.
You have a new album coming out today, New Self. Can you tell us a bit about this record?
So, this record is our, what is it, our third or fourth record?
It's our
It's our fourth studio album, and we are coming off a really long break, and it kind of feels surreal that we have a new album coming out. It's been so long. It really has almost been 3 years.
What kind of sets it apart from other work that you've done in the past?
I feel like we took this opportunity to just kind of try to have fun with it instead of in the past, maybe we would judge ourselves with writing too much or say no to ideas too quickly. And this time I think the goal was really just have fun, because this was an opportunity that we it wasn't guaranteed. It just kind of came upon us. So we just wanted to make the most of it, I guess, and just not judge ourselves and just try to expand how we creatively work together and stuff.
Yeah, and New Self is coming after a really uncertain time for the band. You didn't know if you'd be coming back. And can you just tell us a bit more about why you decided to take that break?
We had been debating it for a very long time leading up to when we announced that we were taking a break. We tried to hang on for as long as possible, but we just felt like we were really I think more than anything, we were just emotionally a little defeated. But from the outside, it looked amazing, which is why I think people were so surprised.
We always look amazing.
From the outside, it looked like we were doing really well. Internally, I would say there was just a lot of doubt going on.
But what was the reality? On the outside, you're touring the world, you've got lots of Instagram followers, but what was kind of the reality behind the scenes?
The music industry is really, really difficult, which everybody knows, but I feel like people who maybe appear as if they're doing really well, even if they're not doing well behind the scenes, people just don't want to talk about it or something because they don't want to seem like they're failing. But we felt like it was important to just acknowledge the reality of it. I think just we didn't want to go quietly, because it wasn't like we were just stopping because we wanted to stop, kind of. We felt like we had to, kind of.
And so, how did it feel in that moment when it was becoming real? It was settling in that it was going to be a real break.
It's just one of those things where you work really hard for a really long time, and I think we went on a break after we had done a West Coast tour where we had sold out every show, and it was it was great, lots of fun, lots of fans of the songs. That was cool. And then we did this whole tour, sold out Bosch, and we made no money off of it. We were like, well, we want to tour again, but we can't really, we have no money to do that. So that was kind of the moment of well, I guess that's where it's at,
And how did you navigate those feelings?
Poorly.
Felt, I'll just speak for myself, that it felt really, really difficult at first. Me and Sam, the singer, we would just
be, ever heard of her?
we would just be on the phone, just crying together about it. In all honesty, it was extremely difficult. It was, the biggest thing in my life for a long time up to that point. So it felt like I was saying goodbye to something that was everything almost. But it got easier as time went on, and it was nice to have the break.
You guys announced that break, you put out a statement on your Instagram, and randomly you get this DM from Jason Momoa. He wants to help out. He puts you guys on his show On the Roam. Can you bring us behind the scenes of that process?
Crazy. Crazy. We were all just nah, that's not gonna happen.
No freaking way, y'all.
We were just yeah, he's not gonna show up to Woodstock. He's not gonna follow through on this. And then everything happened. He really meant it, which is awesome.
It was cool for us because, aside from the fact that that's a thing that does not really happen, save for, a fictional story about something like this, aside from the fact of how outlandish it was on its face, it's also it was coming off of years of working with various different music industry people, managers, yada, 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 record label people who all were we're gonna get you. And saying much more kind of believable things, you know what I mean? We're going to get you an opening slot for one night for a band a little bit bigger than you. And then it would be nothing, So it's for a Hollywood actor to come in and be like, I'm going to put you on my HBO show and I'm also going to pay for you to make another record. That's like, there's no way that that's going to happen. And so it was kind of insane. Like, he was the only person who said something that like that, and then, you know, delivered on everything he said he'd do, which is like amazing. But at first we were just like, there's no way, dude, that's crazy. But, you know, it was amazing.
And so he made a really big difference for you guys, made it possible to make this record. But has the music industry actually changed at all since then, or is it
definitely
more
not
the same?
I don't think it's changed at all, honestly. The biggest issues with it, they haven't changed. Just like royalty rates and, like, you know, streaming and all of that. And then also just the fact that it seems like people aren't necessarily interested in building bands anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, whoever blows up on TikTok, that's where we'll put the money. There's no interest in, like, seeing something that has so much potential and wanting to take the risk to invest in that.
I think at a core level, it hasn't really shifted at all. But what's interesting to think about is, like, we've been, you know, touring for, like, I don't know, 8 years or something like that. And, like, I think the thing that I've noticed change the most in that time is, like, especially since COVID, you know, is, like, how prevalent social media short-form content is. Like, that is kind of the whole meta of the world. It was always a little bit like that, and now it's interesting to see how it's shifted into being so centralized into that as sort of the metric for, you know, success. And, like, some people have done well with it, some people it's hard to adjust to, you know. It's just interesting to see.
So with the industry staying largely the same and a lot of the issues still remaining, what is next for the Bobby Lees after this record?
Blowing up and being awesome.
You know, we'll see. I think we're trying not to have any expectations, because when we were, like, fully engulfed in this the first time around, we worked so hard and we wanted it so badly, and it just felt so defeating when it didn't happen over and over and over again. So I think we're just trying to, like, not have any expectations. If nothing happens, nothing happens. If something happens, that's great. If I had to guess, I think we'll do at least another record after this, but you never know. You never know. I mean, the record's, you know, coming out today, and we're going to go play a bunch of shows later in the year, and we'll see how people react. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, success is something that you accept in, not chase. That's a Skrillex quote.
We've gotten so many just, like, messages from people saying, like, you guys are so important to me. What you're doing is so important. What you're speaking up about is so important. Please don't stop. It really, really matters. Just, like, some people even going as far as saying, like, you saved my life. And so, like, when you hear from those people, of course, it motivates you to just, you know, just keep making it work no matter what. So
Mackie, yeah. I know that fashion and costuming is a big thing for you, both in this band and in the Head-Ons.
Okay, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about what motivated you to wear your costuming, or lack thereof, for the Bobby Lees?
Saves on laundry detergent.
And can you tell us a bit about the bedazzled underwear that you wore for your Bowery show?
Yeah, those are a custom-made piece, custom-made by my mom, that I think kind of show off all of my best features. And, you know, I thought it's just like, well, you know, it actually is a matching set, because I have my sort of matching tidy whities that I wear, as well as my bedazzled matching Adidas Superstars, which I like as sort of a playful reference to sort of the alternative bands of the 90s, and as well as sort of high fashion sense and sort of opulent sort of self-expression. So I thought, you know, what better way, like, you know,
your mom bedazzled those underwear. Yeah. You both have very musical families. How has that kind of influenced your journey?
Well, actually, my family's not musical at all.
I've seen your mom sing.
No, she actually is a good singer. She just doesn't want to admit it. Yeah, Mackie's family is a lot cooler in that regard, I would say. No, I've honestly, though, like, nobody else there are musical people in my family, and, you know, our old guitar player, Nick, he's my stepbrother. So, you know, there's a huge connection there. Yeah, for the most part, it's kind of always been just me who's turned it into like a career, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. Did they understand that journey? Were they very supportive of your musical journey?
Yeah, they were. My mom has always been just extremely supportive. And that's been incredible, because I feel like a lot of kids don't get the opportunity to explore like creatively in that way. And so I just feel really lucky. And also, like, just, you know, having Rock Academy where we are right now. I think we had a really unique upbringing in regards to music and just this community.
And we're here in Rock Academy. We were all students here in high school.
And that's where the Bobby Lees met.
Bobby Lees met. You guys have been doing this since high school, essentially. I mean, literally.
Not essentially. Yeah, literally.
Literally, you've been doing this since high school. And how have you changed through the band through the years?
I hit puberty. If that's one thing.
It's actually true. we wrote our very first song together in this room, actually.
That's true.
Yeah, we were kids for sure when we started. It's crazy because we're still very young. That's what's so amazing about Rock Academy is, I don't know, growing up doing this is awesome. We would like go out and play shows or like do tours or like whatever it was, like just experiencing, you know, kind of the realities of playing music. And so then I honestly feel like by the time the band started, I feel like we did have a slight leg up in that sense, but we definitely have learned a lot for, you know, good and bad over the years.
Yeah, we were ready for the performance aspect, but there were other parts of growing up that we were not ready for.
Yeah.
That you can't even learn in school. You believe that?
What are you guys looking forward to the most with this upcoming tour and the release today?
I'm looking forward to playing the Bobby Lee songs live again. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to dancing around in my undies and having a good time. It's been a long time. I think, like, we also, me and Kendall and you know, Sam too, we've all kind of changed a lot in the last 3 years that we've been on hiatus, however long it has been. You know, we've all changed a lot, so I'm super excited. I'm like super kind of antsy and excited to see how how things will stay the same, how things will change, and, you know, I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm very excited to just like play for people again. Like, me and Mackie have been touring nonstop, kind of, you know, with other projects, but I do definitely miss like playing our own stuff and like people getting really excited about it. And I've just been thinking about it more and more as like the shows get closer and closer. I'm really excited to just like see people have a good time with it again. And I think actually a big difference is going to be that we're going to have a much better time ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we really just want to have fun with everybody, you know.
All right.
Yeah. We want to dance, y'all. We want to feel the beat.
I've gotten way more into dancing over the past couple years. That's
really
how I've grown.
Yeah. Kendall even likes house music now.
Whoa.
House music. I'm trying to learn how to twerk.
Okay.
That's going to be part of the stage show, so y'all better pull up.
Thank you, Mackie Bowman and Kendall Wind, for joining me today. The Bobby Lee's latest album, New Self, came out today. You can check it out wherever you listen to music, and you can follow the band's journey on Instagram at The Bobby Lee's. You can find out more on this story on our website, wjffradio.org. In Liberty, I'm Rebecca Hendricks for Radio Catskill.
Thank you for that, Rebecca. Everyone, have a great weekend. See you at the Trop Parade that's happening tomorrow. Enjoy this weekend. Watch the World Cup. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The DeBruce in Livingston Manor, New York, a restaurant and hotel overlooking the Willowemoc Valley, featuring 12 guest rooms, 2 restaurant experiences, and an endless backyard for fly fishing and hiking. TheDeBruce.com. From Grizzly Bagels, small batch, handmade, New York-style bagels in Roscoe, New York. GrizzlyBagels.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. local news, culture, and NPR.